It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime. Time.
There's going to be a lot of days when you lay your guts on the line and you come away empty-handed. Ain't a damn thing you can do about it but go back and lay them on the line again and again and again.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in. I believe. Touchdown Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sure effort got it in.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Oh, he caught it at the two, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown!
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35-30, 25-20, Peterson, the one man to beat, at the 5, he is in! Touchdown, Auburn! Flash that smile, Cam!
Byron waits for the snap into place, there it is, the kick is up, the kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19!
You'll keep fighting like you did today. You'll keep playing like that. You build a foundation that we can live a long, long time on the dome.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106. Live from the Hope Farm in beautiful Fairhope, Alabama, here's your host, Doug Holton.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome into Tiger Talk Overtime. As we get you ready for Saturday's game at Jordan-Hare Stadium, Auburn and Tennessee, a 6 o'clock game, as ESPN will broadcast the ball game, and we haven't had a night game in a while, and it's great to be back to football. The Tennessee Volunteers coming to town this Saturday night. We invite your phone calls tonight. 343-0106 is our number if you have a call or question for us tonight. A little background on the game. The Tigers hold a 28-22-3 lead in the all-time series and lead 7-3-1 in all games played at Auburn. The Tigers have won 6 of the last 7 games in the series, although UT was a 30-24 winner in 2018 in Auburn in the team's most recent meeting. Auburn leads 11-5 in neutral site games, and Tennessee has a 14-10-2 advantage in all games played in Knoxville. Auburn and Tennessee played every year from 1956 to 91, and we'll talk to Brian Brensfield, who played in that last game in 91 tonight, one of our guests here on Tiger Talk Overtime. The two did not play from 1991 until the 1997 SEC Championship game because of league expansion and the rotating opponent setup. The two played in 1998 and 99 and the 2003 and 2004 seasons. And we'll talk to Ronnie Brown, who, of course, played in the 2004 ball game tonight, also one of our guests here on the show. And that all before rotating off each other's schedule until 2008 and 2009. Interesting fact here, from 1956 to 91, every meeting except 1968 was on the last Saturday of September, and the two schools dominated the SEC in the mid to late 1980s. In 6 of the 8 seasons from 1983 to 1990, either Auburn or Tennessee claimed an SEC championship. Also, it will be Gus Malzahn's 100th game as Auburn head coach. His first game was a 31-24 win over Washington State at Jordan-Hare Stadium in 2013. And during the Gus Malzahn era, Auburn is 9-1 after an open date during the regular season.
We did play our best game,
against LSU, and we just need to keep building them with that. And what we're telling our guys is we need to play our best game again. But looking forward to playing at home, excited. You know, it'll be a night game. I really encourage our students to bring their A game. I think it's got a chance to be a really good one. So,
all right, once again, no old-time feed, old-fashioned Auburn drive of the week this week because the Tigers, of course, were off again last week with a postponement of Mississippi State. But Cecil Christenberry is here with us once again. And, Cecil, great to have you with us. We're heading into Tennessee week, and we were talking just a little bit a few minutes ago. What a colorful rivalry and a game that I really miss playing every year. When I was in school, Auburn and Tennessee played every year. One of the great colorful games in the Southeastern Conference.
You know, I tell you what, with all this COVID and the missing games, it's just been very discombobulated, if I may use that word. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I tell you, Tennessee, I got fond memories. I remember my first football game at Auburn. It was a fall of 71. I was a freshman up there. And I'd announced to my people when I left home that I'll see you Thanksgiving. I'd been up there about a week, and Auburn was traveling to Tennessee to open the season with Tennessee that year. For some reason, that was a little unusual. I realized on Friday afternoon the whole town was packing up and leaving. And I said, well, wait, some were going to the game, some were going home. And about 11 o'clock that night, I made the decision that I'd come back home. And when I got there, but anyhow, that was a game that Tennessee, I think Auburn beat. That was Pat Sullivan. And I think, if I remember right, it was like 10-9 or something, 10-7. Right. But Tennessee's always been a fun, great rivalry, Doug. And I share with you, man, I wish we played every year.
Absolutely. Some great games in the 1980s that I remember. And you and I were talking about some of the things that the Auburn student body did when the big orange used to come out, maybe a few oranges here and there. But that game in the 1980s when they dedicated the stadium to Coach Jordan, that was a special moment in history.
Well, we traveled back. We were living at Dothan at the time, and we traveled back to see that. I wanted to witness that, and as I remember, I think it was 42-0. What a way to dedicate the stadium. But I know when we were there, you talking about oranges, you couldn't buy an orange within 2 miles of the Auburn campus. Now, I guess that's not Southern hospitality, but it was a great rivalry. I'll tell you what, I miss that.
Yeah. Auburn goes into this ball game a big favorite, which kind of surprised me when the line came out. But the Tigers, I guess you could call it, still coming off that big win over LSU, although it's been a couple weeks ago. Can they keep it going, you think?
I hope they can. I don't know if we were that good or LSU was that bad. I'm gonna go with that we were that good, that we got things together on that offensive line, and our quarterback, you know, kind of found his way there a little bit. And I think our defense is going to be okay. But I recall last year, you know, Tennessee came in there and broke our hearts. And yeah, we just can't allow that to happen this time. I mean, I remember just stinging over that. You know, we should have beaten Tennessee, so we owe them. And it always makes me a bit nervous to be a big pick. I'd rather be even a little in the underdog. But I think Auburn could do it. I really feel pretty good about a running game, and I can't wait to have an old-fashioned, old-time drive of the week. I hope we have 4 or 5 to pick from.
Hi, friends. Cecil Christenberry here, proud sponsor of the old-time feed, old-fashioned Auburn Drive of the Week. I want to personally invite you to old-time feed here in Fairhope for all your feed and garden supply needs. We've been here now for 33 years serving you, and I want to thank you for that. So whether it's seed for your fall garden or an orchid for mom, stop on in and we'll take great care of you. That's old-time feed and garden supply in Fairhope.
And welcome into the show, everybody, and a little mismatch there on the opening, but of course the Auburn Tigers taking on the Tennessee Volunteers this weekend at 6 o'clock at the stadium, and Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn. Should be an exciting affair, and we'll be talking with a number of guests tonight, including Ronnie Brown, who had a great ball game or two against the Tennessee Volunteers back in the 2003-2004 years for the Tigers. Could have been some championship years there. And also Brian Brensfield joining us at the bottom of the hour. He was involved in the Tennessee rivalry at the end of one of the phases, 1991. And we'll be talking to Brian about that ball game and the Tennessee-Auburn game coming up this weekend in just a bit. So, glad you're with us tonight. Join us on the phone lines. 343-0106 is our number here. We are at the Hope Farm, and the crowd filing in here. We've got live music, and just had a taste of the feature menu here at the Hope Farm. It is outstanding, and I hope you'll join us here for a drink and dinner. And the Farmhouse Brew is new out this week as well, as you might have heard this afternoon. So we'll be talking more Auburn football, Auburn and Tennessee coming up this weekend at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Stay with us. Give us a call and a question. Ronnie Brown is next with us here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to the Hope Farm in Fairhope and Doug Holton.
And welcome back, everybody. We are live here at the Hope Farm, Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Glad you're with us. Auburn and Tennessee coming up this weekend. We'll be chatting with Ronnie Brown in just a minute or two. Right now we're going to talk for just a minute with Tyler Braun, the executive chef here at the Hope Farm. And, Tyler, great to have you with us. What a sampling of the feature menu we just had. Tell us a little bit about that and where you came up with the idea.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. So basically every week, Tuesday through Sunday night, we do a chef's feature menu. And that is composed of dishes that myself, my sous chef, and someone selected from a culinary team to make that menu. And it changes every week. It's someone different every week. And it's, you know, their food as far as what the menu goes. And so this week we're doing a kind of Thai-themed menu.
That soup was excellent.
Yeah, so that soup is that was a Thai coconut soup made with coconut milk, a little red curry paste we made in-house, and then garnished with some shaved king trumpet mushrooms grown 20 feet away from where we're sitting right now on premises. So that's fun. And then our second course was a papaya salad, a little bit of cabbage, a little bit of carrot, cherry tomatoes, some local lump crab meat from Bayou La Batterie right here. Third course was our five-spiced chicken with drunk noodles, and that is sous vide five-spiced chicken that we then flash fried with a panko breadcrumb, so it's super crunchy to kind of juxtapose the soft noodles. Those were green tea soba noodles, a little bit of charred bok choy, a little bit of sweet pepper with that. And then fourth course, for our dessert course, we did the mango pudding with a lemon leaf whipped cream that also had a little bit of spiced mango and candied cashew.
Yeah. And a lot of people are saying, what are some of these items? They're not familiar with them. But trust us, it was fabulous, especially the chicken I thought was really good. And the neat thing is a lot of this is grown right here.
Yeah, a ton of the stuff we grow on property. We got, you know, raised beds out in the back 40. We have a mushroom fruiting room. That we have from a refurbished shipping container. We have a hydroponic system in another refurbished shipping container that we grow, you know, baby bok choys and herbs and different leaf lettuces and just all kind of stuff throughout the season. And it's constantly changing. And that's the fun thing for me is as those things are changing, I get to kind of base my menu on that seasonally.
Right, right. So, fabulous stuff. Come back and visit with us later in the show. We'll talk some more about what we had tonight and some of the things coming up this weekend.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Tyler, thanks very much. The executive chef here at the Hope Farm. And really fabulous food. And the seats are starting to fill up here. If you want to come out for dinner or a drink, join us here at the Hope Farm in Fairhope, Alabama. Absolutely wonderful atmosphere here. Right now we want to get some Auburn football talk going against the Tennessee Volunteers this weekend. And joining us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line right now is former Auburn running back Ronnie Brown. Ronnie, great to have you with us on the show tonight.
I appreciate you guys for allowing me on your platform, and I'm excited about it and talk a little football.
Absolutely. Was watching the old video earlier today of, I think, the 2004 game, and that always pops in my mind when I talk about Auburn or think about Auburn and Tennessee is you running in for that first touchdown, I think, and running over the Tennessee tackler.
Yeah, that was exciting. You know, and a lot of people don't know. Some people do. I had a little added fuel for that game. One of the reasons being I initially committed to Tennessee prior to going to Auburn, and so you know, I remember during that time, you know, Coach Fulmer came in my house and he had his national championship ring on. And so I just remember him saying the words, if you ever want to win one of these, you won't go to Auburn. And so I did have a little added motivation for that game.
Yeah, and it seemed in watching the video that I watched earlier today, it seemed the entire Auburn team coming out of the tunnel, everybody was really jacked up for that ball game.
We were. You know, and I think during that week, no one really gave us a chance. You know, I think when most of the predictions and the matchup, you know, most people were favoring Tennessee. And so, you know, we felt a certain type of way about that because we were so close to the team. And so what I tell people about that season is the reason we were successful, I think a large part of that is because of the bonds we shared outside of the locker rooms and the accountability and the leadership that we had. And that's what made that team special. You know, we may not have been the most talented football team ever, but we probably had the most chemistry. When you talk about hanging together outside of that, doing things outside of, you know, what we had to do. But then when it came down to football, we competed with each other, whether it was practice or summer workouts. Everybody held one another accountable, and that's what probably got us through that season the most.
Yeah. Well, it turned out pretty well. Could have been a lot better, but pretty good season for the Auburn Tigers. Let's talk about this weekend, the Auburn-Tennessee matchup at Jordan-Hare Stadium, a night game, 6 o'clock on ESPN, and the Tigers have had 2 weekends off now after the LSU ball game. What do you think? How do they come out of the gate Saturday? Is it going to be tough to restart, or will they kind of take off this week where they left off against LSU?
You know, I would hope that, you know, they come out on fire. You're at home. All of these games matter because they're all, you know, conference games. And so coming off of 2 weeks, one, you get a chance to have guys back healthy. But then two, it's just, you know, it's a game that, you know, I think everyone expects it to be a pretty competitive game. And so, you know, if you're Auburn, you try to take advantage, even though the crowds aren't there, you try to take advantage of not having to travel. Because not necessarily, it's just the inconvenience of traveling now with COVID and, you know, all the things and the safety measures that have to be taken. You know, it takes a toll, I think, on people having to do that and, you know, social distancing and trying to have meetings set up. And so, you know, you at least have some sense of routine at this point of the season. So I would think that may give Auburn a little edge, but, you know, just in terms of the game, it's going to be competitive and, you know, everyone who's involved in the game, they're going to have to be hitting on all cylinders. And a team that makes the least amount of mistakes at this stage, given, you know, the lack of offseason, the lack of preparation, the, you know, ins and outs. So the team that's the most focused and makes the limited mistakes, I think they give themselves the best chance to win.
Yeah. How about this Auburn offense? They kind of got untracked against LSU, put some points on the board, you know, took advantage of some opportunistic turnovers. And what do you think? Can they carry that on this week, or do you think they have come of age in 2020, a very tough year to come of age, but have Bo Nix and the offense done that at this point, do you think?
Well, I think each week has been progressively better, you know, and giving, you know, I think when you're in college, you make the biggest jump between year one and year two, especially as a true freshman, because the thing that you can't coach is experience. And so, you know, getting a chance to get that, but, you know, getting a new coordinator and trying to get everyone acclimated without having, like I said, that extra time in the spring, you know, it's been an adjustment period. And so we talk about offensive coordinator learning the plays, you know, the players trying to figure out what coach is looking for, how he likes things done, you know, and so trying to figure those things out. I think it's been a constant learning period for all the guys, coaches included. But I think now they're kind of starting to see what guys are good at, seeing what they could ask certain guys to do, filling in to do certain things, play certain roles, and playing to their benefits. And their talent. You know, it seemed an LSU game, which, you know, at some point, too, I do think it's smoke and mirrors because LSU isn't what they've been in the past. And so, you know, I do have to kind of look at that. But when you look at Auburn, I do think that they made a huge step forward against LSU, and I would look to see that they continue to do that and build on that performance.
Yeah, hopefully so. I saw that Tank Bigsby was added to the Maxwell watch list this week as well. Ronnie, always appreciate the time and the visit, and hopefully the Tigers with a big win this weekend against the Vols, and maybe we'll see you up there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and it was a pleasure.
All right, thanks very much. Ronnie Brown, former running back for the Auburn Tigers, and now on the Auburn Network. We'll continue to talk Auburn football, Auburn and Tennessee this weekend. Brian Brensfield, who played his high school football right here in Fairhope, is from Spanish Fort, will join us next, and we'll talk some more Tennessee. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to the Hope Farm in Fairhope and Doug Holton.
And we welcome you back into Tiger Talk Overtime on this Thursday night, getting ready for Auburn and Tennessee coming up this weekend at Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, 6 o'clock game on ESPN. Talking football, we'd love for you to join us here. 343-0106 is our phone number if you'd like to call in with a comment or a question. And joining us right now on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line is our old friend Brian Brensfield, who is a former Auburn Tiger, and as we mentioned before, played his football in Fairhope and grew up in Spanish Fort. And, Brian, always good to visit with you on Thursday night in Tiger Talk Overtime. Welcome in.
Thank you, Doug. It's good to be with y'all. It means Auburn's fixing to play. So
there you go.
Good time.
I know you're busy with Navarre over there. You guys have a playoff game this weekend, right?
We do. We're playing a team out of Jacksonville called Buckholz. And they look like kind of like us, pretty decent team, run spread, about 55% run and 45% pass. So should be a good test for us in the first round.
Yeah. As we were talking earlier, interesting times during your years at Auburn when you played Tennessee. You only had one battle with the Volunteers, but that was a very interesting ball game and very interesting timing for the Auburn program.
It was. As we were talking this morning, it was my true freshman year in 1991, and we played Georgia Southern and Ole Miss, went out to Texas on a Thursday night, played Texas and beat them. I think we were ranked about 6 or 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there, going into Tennessee. And, it was interesting. The night before the game on Saturday, we were watching. My roommate was from Tennessee and wanted to watch some local high school scores. But the first report of the sports was not high school sports. It was about the Eric Ramsey controversy. And we went out, and I think it was probably the worst I had seen us play in the 4 years that I was there. Stan was trying to throw from his back. He was on the ground a lot that game. And I just think the coach's focus was kind of lost. So we ended up only winning two more games that year.
Yeah, kind of hit the skids after that. The season went downhill. But the Tennessee rivalry over the years, as we talked earlier in the week, I talked with Cecil Christenberry. About the Tennessee-Auburn rivalry. And it's one that I miss, a very colorful rivalry, a lot of great games in the 1980s. And it's just a ball game that I think is going to be a good one this weekend, and I really miss it being every season.
Yeah, it is a good rivalry, and I do miss them. I do miss seeing them play. In fact, one of the earliest or the most vivid memories I have is not earliest, but in the late 80s, I was a long snapper, and I think Auburn had two bad long snaps on punts in around 88, 89, and could have cost them that game. And it was a good chance for me to come in as a true freshman and get some playing time. But it is a fun rivalry. It's a huge stadium, as y'all know, about 105,000, and they're all singing Rocky Top the whole game.
Yeah, and you were telling me you heard a little Rocky Top in 1991, right, in that week leading up to practice?
Coach Dye, you know, he would do things to get us prepared, different things. And in 91, it was in the locker room, it was in the bathroom, it was in the training room. We heard Rocky Top nonstop. I think over in Sewell Hall they even played it. And I think I vowed I would never, ever, ever sing Rocky Top again. But, on the sideline in the first quarter, I've told this many times. I remember vividly my foot was tapping, and I was singing Rocky Top standing on the sideline.
I had
to kind of jolt myself out of it. They get after it up there.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this Saturday's game a little bit. The Tigers have been off for 2 weekends. I know that's got to be tough. But their best ball game of the year against LSU. And, of course, everybody's asking the question now, how good is LSU? But what do you think? What's your gut feeling about how the Tigers will come out this Saturday?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. How good is LSU? I hope we come out and we play. The team that comes out is the team that played LSU. I would love to see that. Those, I think in the last two games, it's got about 75% completion rating. Tennessee's pretty weak on defense, especially against the pass. I think it's going to be a good game. I really do hope. And we've seen both sides of Auburn this year. We've seen the bad side. We've seen the good side. So, again, I hope we see the team that came out against LSU and put a whooping on them.
Yeah. Do you feel like we saw maybe the maturation of Bo Nix against LSU? He seemed to find his stride a little bit and find his confidence and be able to connect rhythm-wise with some of his wide receivers.
Yeah, I think so too, Doug. And I think you're seeing the maturation of not only Bo, but hopefully the offensive line. Two young tackles. But I think they gained some confidence in that game with LSU. Bo, I think, is as we said before and talked before, I think he's got to work on staying in the pocket and climbing the ladder in the pocket. But he's got to have a pocket to do that. But I do think the offensive line's getting a little better. I was able to talk to Nick Broms a little bit. He's from Navarre and from our team, and he thinks the same thing. Thinks they're getting a little bit better each week. So hopefully we're going to hit a peak here soon. Hopefully it'll be against Alabama. But I do think you're seeing the offense kind of come into its own.
Yeah, it's hard to believe the Alabama game is coming up next week in Tuscaloosa, but we'll be talking more about that, of course. Visiting with Brian Brinsfield, former Auburn Tiger, and our phone number 343-0106 if you'd like to chime in with a call, a question, or a comment, and we'll be glad to entertain that about the Tennessee ball game this weekend. Talk about your relationship a little bit, Brian, with Nick up front. He's had some great outings, and he's had some outings where he struggled, but where do you think he is now, and how comfortable is he along with that offensive line? Are they feeling like that the offensive line is gelling at this point?
I think so. Like I said, your word maturation was right on. I think they're getting more mature game by game, and again, it's all about confidence. I think even though it's 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the LSU game gave them some confidence, according to Nick. And Nick and I we talk probably twice a week. He's an incredibly bright young man. He's got over a 4-point GPA, or graduated with over a 4-point GPA. He was almost a junior when he entered Auburn. He had that many credits, college credits toward his degree. He's an aviation major and just a really smart kid. Comes from a wonderful family. His dad actually helps us on the freshman level, coaching at Navarre. And just a great football mind, but he's the leader up there. He's the guy that's had the most snaps in the last couple of years. So I think Nick feels comfortable and confident. They are getting better. You're right. He's had a couple games where maybe some suspect, but it's not just one guy up there. They're doing a lot, and sometimes it looks like one, may make a mistake, but it's awful complicated up there on the offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, especially with all the youth and inexperience that they've had. It's a very tough position to play with experience, and without experience, it's even tougher with some of the guys that that are still trying to find that experience, and without spring practice and with off and on practice going on in the preseason. But let's talk about the defense quickly. KJ Britt, it looks like we'll still be out against the Tennessee Volunteers, but the defense coming along, and they'll be trying to stop Tennessee's run game, I would think, this weekend. The Volunteers, with an experienced offensive line and some pretty good running backs, that seems to be their strength on offense.
You know, I was looking at something just a few minutes ago, and they have 4 or 5 stars on the offensive line. They have a transfer from Georgia that was a 5-star, and that's a pretty good offensive line, but they've had their struggles. I think giving up sack yards, they're ranked pretty low as far as the yards they've given up on per sack. One thing I would love to see, and I'm a defensive line coach, but it's kind of off for Auburn, that their first defensive lineman, if you go by tackles in the season, is 14th, and we hadn't seen that in a while from Auburn. But I think McLean's playing great. And hopefully Brett will get back as soon as he can. I think our secondary is doing well. So Monday's given him a lot of confidence and a lot of help. As long as we can keep some people healthy, I think we've got a great chance going forward this weekend going forward with our defense.
Yeah, I would think so. Hopefully some turnovers and some short fields against the Volunteers coming up Saturday, and a big win for the Auburn Tigers. Well, Brian, always good to catch up. I know you got a ball game coming up Friday, so we'll let you go, but hopefully we'll do this again real soon. Thanks for being with us tonight.
I'd love to, Doug. Thank you so much, War Eagle.
All right, War Eagle. Brian Brinsfield, again, played his high school football right here in Fairhope, Alabama, where we are at the Hope Farm tonight, and grew up in Spanish Fort, an Auburn Tiger in the late 80s and early 1990s. Well, Auburn and Tennessee coming up Saturday. Again, we'd love your phone calls tonight. 343-0106 is our number. We'll talk some more football and a little basketball as Isaac Okoro was drafted this week in the NBA draft. We'll talk about that and much more when we come back in just a minute on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to the Hope Farm in Fairhope and Doug Holton.
Welcome back in, everyone, as we continue to talk Auburn football tonight. The Tigers taking on Tennessee this weekend at Jordan-Hare. Give us a call tonight if you'd like to jump in. 343-0106 is our number on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger line. Couple of notes from basketball we want to mention from this week. Isaac Okoro, the 5th pick in the NBA draft, going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we want to certainly say congratulations to Isaac Okoro. Of course, we talked to Coach Sonny Smith a little bit last week about Isaac, and he is certainly a guy that will have a tremendous career on the next level, the first one-and-done player in Auburn history, and looking forward to seeing him play in the National Basketball Association. We also want to talk about Trey Alexander, who signed a national letter of intent with the Auburn Tigers this week. Kind of a surprise sign for the Tigers in a lot of people's minds. They didn't know a lot about him, but he's a 6'4", 185-pound guard coming from Oklahoma City. And if you want to check him out a little bit, we have the story and the video up on our website, golfsportsnet.com. You can check out his highlight video and see what's coming to the Plains in the very near future. Trey Alexander, a shooting guard out of Oklahoma City. And we want to mention also an email going out today about the seeding, not only at Auburn but in the SEC. And I'll just read you a little bit of it. In accordance with the current state health COVID-19 guidelines, Auburn Arena capacity will be reduced to approximately 20% to begin the 2021 season for both men's and women's basketball to meet the SEC protocol and to allow for proper physical distancing. The team benches will be flipped from the east sideline to the west this year. Bleachers in the sections D through N will be unavailable for student or fan seating for the season. And in addition, floor seating will not be available. Available seats will be arranged in groups of two and four with 6 feet of distancing between each block of seats, and unavailable seats will be marked accordingly. So Randy Bergen alongside with us tonight as well as usual. And Randy, the COVID-19 continues to play a factor in college sports, as we see with college basketball coming up and college football, of course, continuing this weekend.
Well, it certainly does, Doug. And, I mean, it's been a question, I think, for everyone. You know, you get ready for a ball game and all of a sudden it's going to be postponed or canceled in some case because of this. So I think I can speak for most people and say we're ready for this to go away.
Absolutely. I think everybody's ready for that. We had a chance to sample some of the menu tonight. I know that was some delicious food we had here at the Hope Farm. We want to talk about that a little bit more as well. Tyler Braun, the executive chef here at the Hope Farm, fed us.
He put on a show.
Quite a meal there.
He put on a show for us. I think we started out with some curry. Then we had some papaya with crab salad. That was fantastic.
Crab
and that drunken
meat,
chicken. Yeah, that, yeah, crab meat. And then that drunken chicken was fantastic. And and the dessert, I got to tell you, it is something you got to get out here and try it. Because now that changes, from what I understand, that four-course meal could change from time to time.
Yes, I think
this
one
was a good one.
Yeah. It was very good. The chicken had that perfect crunch to it.
So, oh, it was awesome.
Anyway, the seats are still filling up here at the Hope Farm. Still time to get out for dinner. We've got live music. We're out here at the Back 40 Bar, which maybe a lot of people don't know about, but you can come back here to the Back 40 Bar, have a drink, enjoy the show, and really just a fantastic atmosphere wherever you choose here at the Hope Farm, whether it's the Back 40, the courtyard, or the bar up front, or the wine cellar.
The courtyard's fantastic. Really, really neat because you can sit on it. They've got a fireplace, typically have a band there. And it is really, really a neat place. If you've not been to the Hope Farm here in Fairhope, it is you got to put it on your list to get out and see sometime. And the food, the atmosphere is fantastic. The ambiance is crazy, and the food, absolutely marvelous.
Yeah, you mentioned the ambiance. Really, I think, unmatched. That's hard to do around here, but I think
it really is.
It's unmatched in this area. We were talking, your golf show is coming up this weekend, as every weekend, of course, and we're talking about the Masters that happened last weekend at Augusta National. Very exciting finish there with Dustin Johnson. And, of course, we always have a Thanksgiving made-for-TV event, and we were talking before the show, since it's an Auburn show, about Charles Barkley, who's going to be a part of the Thanksgiving show this year.
Well, he will, and this will be the third one. It's called the Match Champions for Change. You know, you had Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning and along with Tom Brady. Well, you're going to have now, it looks like Turner Sports has confirmed that joining Mickelson in this made-for-TV event will be NBA legend, as you mentioned, former Auburn Tiger, Charles Barkley, along with scratch golfer Stephon Curry, a five-time NFL and NFL most valuable player Peyton Manning. Those guys are going to team up. It's going to really be interesting to see. Can Charles Barkley, you haven't seen him on TV playing golf lately. Typically, you see him sometime in July at Lake Tahoe for the American Century Celebrity Classic. You watch him up there, and he gets that little hitch.
Yeah.
Just can't let it go, okay? He's been working through it. You got to tune in on the 27th.
You've been coaching him on that, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm sure. It was all me. This is going to happen on Friday, the 27th at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 o'clock right here in our time zone at Stone Canyon Golf Club in Oro Valley, Arizona. Guess who that's owned by? the Phil Mickelson group, or actually the Mickelson Golf Properties. But they're going to tee it up and see if they can make this happen. It should be a lot of fun. Always Charles Barkley, one of those guys that's just entertaining no matter what sport he's talking about, no matter what sport he's involved in, always interesting.
I think you wouldn't imagine Phil would be trying to make a buck off that, would you? But I can imagine with Peyton Manning and Charles Barkley together, like the one that Tiger had, should be an entertaining event. Lots of comedy out there on the golf course. Not really hardcore golf, but a great time.
Yeah, it can't be hardcore golf with Barkley. But I tell you, Stephon Curry's a pretty good golfer. He's a scratch golfer. Yeah. You got to watch him. But they'll be mic'd up. You'll be able to hear what they have to say. And that's always fun listening to these guys just go back and forth for sure. But I got to tell you, the Masters, boy, what a finish on that with Dustin Johnson. And listen, there's a kid that you got to watch out for, O'Cameron Smith, the young man from Australia.
He looked good.
He did, and he did something that's never happened in the history of Masters, and that is all four rounds in one tournament in the 60s.
Yeah, and your guy Ogletree, that you Andy featured Ogletree. In your magazine, right?
Right.
He was the low amateur at the Masters.
He was the U.S. amateur, which has qualified him, and he is he's only the third guy from Georgia Tech to get that prestigious award there at the Masters. But we're going to have him on the show with us coming up in 2 weeks. So you'll want to be a part of that. Of course, our show airs each Sunday right here on FM Talk 106.5 from 11 to 1, Southern Fairways Golf Show. And we say we talk golf first because, Doug, you've been on there many, many times with us, and we do. We'll talk golf, but, boy, we'll talk some football as well. And who knows what else we'll get into.
Yeah, maybe we'll try to get Sir Charles on the show on Tiger Talk Overtime next week before that Thanksgiving outing.
Nice.
Randy, always great to have you along. Appreciate all your help.
Thank you, Doug. Always fun.
Looking forward to college football. I know.
I'm ready for some football.
Yeah. The Auburn Tigers with a night game coming up Saturday, 6 o'clock again on ESPN. We'll see if they can keep it rolling against the Tennessee Volunteers like they did against the LSU Tigers a couple of weeks ago. It's going to be tough, though. A couple weeks off for the Tigers, and that can put some rust on your timing.
But it's going to be interesting, too. It won't be a full stadium. It won't be a full stadium, will it?
It won't. But it'll be a night game, and they'll have the lights. The orange and blue lights this weekend.
That'll be interesting.
That'll be fun. Hey, thanks for joining us on Tiger Talk Overtime tonight. Thanks to all our sponsors and all our great guests, Brian Brinsfield and Ronnie Brown. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the Tennessee game, and we'll be back for more Tiger Talk Overtime next week, same time. Good night, everybody.